Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of December 17th. I'm joined this week by Father Jim McDermott. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Tim.
It's good to have you back. Father Jim's been one of our regular guests and also the voice of the podcast. That's his voice you hear welcoming you to the America Magazine podcast.
Welcome to the America Magazine podcast.
You could have a nice second career going with that. You're
very
good.
In fact, if people would like me to do like their answering machine messages, or I could probably create a ringtone.
But yeah, ringtones. That's the next big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're here to talk about... That's it, folks. Thanks for joining us. That's all we got. Well, we're here actually to talk about comedy, something you may not agree with that we're funny, but we're actually trying maybe to be a little funny. And we, on previous shows, you may recall...
Speak for yourself.
On previous shows, we've tried, we had a little back and forth, remember, on the first time you were on about spam.
A little banter.
A little banter. So that was something that Father McDermott proposed, and we gave it a shot. Now, this is something that, Jim, you've been doing in the pages of America as well, and that's what we're going to talk about here. Maybe you can give our readers a little, bring them up to speed on some of the work you've been doing, specifically in the Of Many Things column.
Sure. Well, recently, for the Feast of St. Francis Xavier, which was December 3rd, just a couple weeks ago, I did like a dialogue between Francis Xavier, St. Ignatius, and Peter Favre. Those three guys, believe it or not, this is actually a true story. True story, even though I wasn't there, but it's like I was there. Those three guys met when they went to college. Peter Favre and Francis Xavier were 23 years old. Francis Xavier especially, very much a man of the world. Think frat boy. You know, that's the life, it seemed like, or life of the court that he was kind of interested in. Ignatius is their roommate. He's 38.
38. That's amazing.
So old.
38-year-olds with a bunch of 23-year-olds.
With a bunch of 23-year-olds. So for me, it's always been interesting. And those three guys are three of the 10 that will create the Society of Jesus.
Wow.
And we don't know anything about that time other than Ignatius, while he was going to school, he was like making converts. But Francis, he said, was the most difficult convert he ever had. And they became very close friends, but... I just thought this is like a situation ripe for comedy. What's it like when Francis Xavier shows up, this kind of man of the world, he's here to have his big party time, and he's with this old, what to him would seem like, an old man as a roommate.
Yes, and an old man, as you say in the piece, who perhaps, you know, was not very tall. We know that,
right?
He was not a tall man,
no.
Ignatius.
I think he was shorter than my mom, and that's like...
We're going to hear from your mom now. I just want you to know. She's a regular listener. So he wasn't that tall, and also didn't groom himself, or at least that was the his reputation.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that I kind of discovered in trying to write the piece is that Ignatius had worked in Navarre. He had worked in the kind of region that Xavier was from, and he was sort of a hero because he had led this charge against the French at Pamplona, and that's he had this injury, and
right,
that's
famous
of,
story, right?
Right, exactly, the cannonball. But then after that, as part of his sort of conversion, he didn't cut his hair. I don't think he showered. He wore a hair shirt all the time. And for me, the thing that's always been the creepiest was he let his nails grow.
Ooh.
Like, and I just, all I could imagine, even when I was a novice, I would think this, like, imagine like a circus performer, you know, like you go to the sideshow and, you know, the curly, the nails that are like springs. So that was sort of, I just imagine, what if Xavier figured out who this guy was once Ignatius starts talking and it only horrifies him the more.
Right. At first, he's impressed because this is the guy that led the battle. You
That's
know,
right.
Led the troops into battle in Navarre.
That's right.
And then, but then he's like, but wait a minute. My mom told me not to hang out with you because he was this creepy guy.
Creepy guy.
Yeah.
Creepy guy who'd kind of wander around.
Yeah. So it's a funny piece. It's played like a, you know, kind of Xavier the frat boy meets, you know, this studious Ignatius, and then Peter Favre is also there.
Who's sort of, yeah, Peter's like the third wheel.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know that in the long run that he's the kind of the, he's there when we don't know what the, when these two don't know what to do, then they both kind of turn to Peter.
Now, another piece you did in the Of Many Things column was a series of letters written to the magazine.
Right, from the very famous Brother Snerd.
Brother Snerd, and we got a lot of good letters about this. People thought it was very well done, and it was Brother Snerd who was trying to submit a piece to America.
No, Brother Snerd is actually
responding. Right.
Brother Snerd was the former assistant to the editor of America.
Okay.
Currently, Brother Frank Turnbull holds that office, but once upon a time, there was another brother, a very witty and sort of cruel brother who didn't mind telling you exactly what he thought. So what I had included was excerpts from his responses to me when I tried to submit to the magazine.
Oh, okay. And yes. Some of them were... You had some fun at your own expense in that piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I can thank the many readers who wrote me about the courage I had to still, you know, try to work at the magazine after the beating that I took.
Right. I'm going to put both of those pieces up online so that people can check them out. They're already online. You can find them by searching under Jim McDermott's name. But great. I will also put them on a special page so people can check them out for themselves.
I'm available for parties if people want.
Now, I tried this myself once. You know, I did a piece.
Really?
When I was in journalism school, I submitted a piece. To
the kind club. Of a little shtick?
Yeah, well, I don't
know. A
little
sticky?
I read it the other day, and I was a little horrified, but it was a piece. It was based on this guy who was Joel Stein, who was a columnist for Time magazine
okay.
at the time. And yeah. the way he basically sold himself was like, I'm a Gen Xer, 20-something, and I'm going to write about whatever the heck I want to write about. So none of it was reported. None of it was... You know, it was all about himself and, you know, various things happening to him. And it was mostly trivial stuff. So
okay.
I wrote kind of a mock letter pitching myself to Newsweek as kind of the other Joel Stein's kind of twin brother type
okay.
thing. You know, pitching, you know, these it's are funny. The stories that I'm going to write about. I'm not going to write about this object in the news. Instead, I'm going to write about this, you know, trivial matter that concerns just me. But it's tangentially related to something in the news. So it was sort of making fun of Joel Stein.
Yes.
While at the same time having a little fun with it. So I will put that also up on the website, and our readers can...
That's great. I'll have to read that.
...to judge whether they think it's funny or not. So
we're actually going to have a vote thing. You can say, I thought this was funny, yes or no.
Well, some of the references in there are pretty topical for the time, so it's like some of... There was some Elian Gonzalez stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, about his
good source for
cousin, Mary Lysis. I forget her name, but I'm like, wow, that's, haven't heard her name in a while. So some of it you may read...
Whatever happened to him.
Read a little dated. Yeah, so he's now in college.
It's funny you say the whole thing about, oh, you looked at it and cringed. You know, some of my best memories... I like humor. I've actually probably discovered how much I like humor more in the last couple of years than before. And one of the things you I've learned is you always remember when you bomb.
Yeah.
You remember it like... And actually, they're some of my favorite stories. And I was recently seeing something, a bunch of comedians saying, that's all we ever remember and talk about are the times that we bombed.
Sure. Well, as a writer, too, you often remember the mistakes you've made. You know, if you have an error in a piece and that's pointed out, that's a...
You know, and if you don't remember it, Bob Collins, the managing editor, does. And he'll let you know.
Remind you every day at lunch. Yeah.
But can I tell you a joke? Can I tell you this my bombing story?
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
All right. Once, this is the worst I've ever bombed, and it is really, it's one of my most treasured memories. I was at a meeting of young Jesuits of my province, and part of what we do at that meeting is people kind of share their own experience. So a bunch of guys had been speaking, and it just seemed really heavy. So I thought, and there's a great sense of humor on the reservation that I used to work, especially among the Jesuits, but among the people too, and actually especially among the people. So I thought, I think I'll tell this joke that we would tell on the res to kind of get people, and it's played like it's serious. So it was a story. I said, you know what, it's my turn to share. I just want to say, you know, it's been real tough on the reservation, really tough, you know, hard times. And I want to tell you, not too long ago, I was driving along the road late at night on the way back from Oglala back to our mission, and I saw a car parked along the side of the road, and it was on fire. So I pulled right over because there were two guys, like a van, and there were two guys stumbling around. Maybe they were drunk. They clearly seemed out of it. I mean, like they were laughing at the van on fire. So I just wanted to stop and see if everybody was okay. And a police car pulls up right behind that van on this, and I'm on the other side of the street. And so I think, okay, the cops got under control, and I'll just watch. And while I'm there, the cops, they throw open the doors like it's a serious situation, and I see they pull out guns and they're behind the doors. And the one guy goes, he's running around drunk with his arm is on fire. It's completely on fire.
Jeez.
And he doesn't even seem to know it. And that's at the moment that they pull their guns. And I can hear them yelling, but I can't hear what they're saying. And then all of a sudden, they just shot the guy. Bam, he just goes down. And I couldn't believe it. I run across the street to the cops. What are you doing? And the cops say, we warned him. He said, the guy's, I don't know if he's drunk or just out of it. Something's wrong. What do you mean you warned him? He said, I said, what was the crime? He was waving a firearm.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you, that group of people, they believed the story at the very beginning, it was, I guess, realistic enough. People who hadn't been on the reservation, like, they were so mad. People would not look me in the eye.
Yeah.
They would not speak to me for like a day. It was the most uncomfortable moment, and I will treasure it for the rest of my life.
Well, the way you told it, it was, you know, you can see how people would take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And there hadn't been any much joking around before
no,
that.
No, yeah. So. I kind of misread the moment. Totally misread the moment.
Well, that's part of comedy, is sort of reading the crowd, you know.
Yeah.
So now you've learned a little something about this. You're taking some classes now in improv.
That's right. I've taken a couple classes in sitcom writing with a great lady named Tammy Yellen at NYU. If you're in New York and you want a great class at NYU Extension School, go see Tammy Yellen. She's amazing.
Okay, how do you spell her last name?
Y-E-L-L-I-N.
Okay.
And she worked for The Office, another show called The Office, actually.
Oh, all right.
But she could have written for, in fact, if somebody listening is looking for writers, Tammy Yellen.
Okay.
Tammy Yellen. And then Jim McDermott. and then I'm in an improv class this semester, which has also been, it's actually been the scariest, one of the scariest experiences of my life, because it's basically, you're even though you're in a small room with your classmates, you get up, the teacher says, corn on the cob, go. And then you're like supposed to come up with a scene.
Based on that.
Based on that word, yep.
So how did you have to do something like that? Yeah,
we have to do it all the time.
Oh, wow.
It's like constant in the class. And the first 3 or 4 weeks, I would, before each class, I would literally be standing outside of the building where I thought people wouldn't be able to see me, saying to myself, I'm not going, I'm done with this. This is just not, I'm not, I don't have a lot of time. This isn't working for me. But then, you know, you go to a couple sessions of where professionals are doing it and you become more comfortable, a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
So.
And you learn something about yourself. It forces you.
Many things. They're not pretty things.
But it forces you out of your skin a little bit. You
it
know?
Does,
you
yeah.
Know, just
yeah.
Beyond your comfort zone. You know,
beyond the comfort zone.
I can't imagine ever trying something like that. But, you know, maybe I should someday, just to, you know.
Well, it's funny, though, because you've got that arrow, you know, one of those arrow things going through your head, Tim. You're always kind of like, you're the comedian.
I love Steve Martin, yes. But so you have a big show coming up.
Big show.
Probably already happened by the time we put up this podcast. But this is sponsored by the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah, that's where the classes are through.
Yeah, which is a fairly well-known New York improv troupe. Has produced some stars on some people on Saturday Night Live. I
Absolutely.
Believe.
In fact, Amy Poehler, who's on Saturday Night Live, is one of the founders of the
founders
company.
Of that group. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So we also wanted to just, you know, say goodbye to Father Jim McDermott. He's actually going to be...
So long.
Leaving the magazine for about 9 months and is going to do his tertianship, which is the final part of Jesuit formation. Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about tertianship.
Sure. Tertianship is, what is tertianship? It means third, right? Tertian, three,
okay.
Something from the third.
More
I think
than
it's
I
the, considered like the third part of your formation. And it's sort of a period of time, which can happen in 2 summers or over like 6 months or 7 months altogether, where you do things like a 30-day silent retreat.
Wow.
You study the history of the society and the kind of the constitutions, the laws, so to speak, of the Society of Jesus. You do some work experiences with the spiritual exercises, which are sort of our foundational spiritual documents, and also with working with poor people, with marginalized people, people in need, the interesting thing is, this is all stuff you did when you first entered the Jesuits. Literally, you did all of those things.
As part of, as a novice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Community. It's a lot about community, which is a lot like being a novice. So I think the idea is, it's like a bookend and an opportunity to look back on all these years of your life that you've been a Jesuit, and, you know, a lot of others before that. And I think it's a time to kind of be grateful and sort of, just sort of take in what God has done in your life.
It's a great opportunity as far as I can tell. I mean, it's 7 or 8 months, so it's not like you got to do this in 2 weeks or in, you know.
No, yeah.
It's something that you have a long period of time to reflect upon, and you're doing it down in Australia.
Oi!
So you're going, and it's going to be you and a group of Jesuits down there?
Yeah, there'll be about 12 of us.
In Melbourne, is that where you're going
to
be?
Yeah, at least there'll be 12 of us to start, and then we'll see who we vote off, who we vote off the island.
Right.
By the end, I think it's also a competition, and who will win tertianship?
Tertianship Island, right.
So, I want to win tertianship.
Well, you'll be returning in September of 2008.
I will.
That's the plan.
September of 2008. It seems like forever.
It does. It does. We'll see if the magazine is still running when you get back. No.
Or what kind of accent I'll have. What kind of affected sort of way of speaking I have.
Well, we will be sure to talk to you when you return, and perhaps you can, you know, write in every so often, maybe post to our new blog, which we want to promote here. The
In All Things.
In All Things is now up and running at AmericanMagazine.org. It's right on our homepage. If you scroll down a little bit in the center of the page.
Great stuff.
Yeah, some good stuff. We got a good lineup of folks. We've got the editors are contributing. We've got Robert Ellsberg, Cindy Callahan, Sister Helen Prejean may drop in every so often. So we've got a good group of people. So folks out there should check it out. And we've set up an RSS feed, so it's easy to keep track of what's going on. Well, Father Jim McDermott, we want to say good luck to you, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, take care.
God bless to everybody.
Thank you again for joining us for this week's edition of the American Magazine Podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast by going to our podcast link on the homepage or going to americamagazine.podbean.com. Be sure to check out those articles that we talked about today, both by Father Jim McDermott and by myself. Those will be available right there next to the podcast link. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.